Thank you, Miss Pat. Brother Bill, Mama Rob, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. I want you to take, we're going to use our Bibles a little bit, look at a few passages of Scripture. We want to redeem the time that we have before us in the sense that this is a great time, a great opportunity for us to be faithful to the gospel and to share the truth with those that we work with and love and care for and around, to be able to be a help to them and just be willing to share our story, and that the Lord use us as an instrument, as a vessel to manifest His good, acceptable, and perfect will to those around us. You know, I was listening, which I know you were too. There was a song that we sang. We didn't sing it quite as loud as we sang the other ones. What song was it, y'all? What was it, Mama Ron? What Child Is This? And did y'all notice that we was a little quiet on that one? Didn't sing out. You know why that is? It's not that it's not a song that we haven't heard as much as, is that it's a song we haven't sung as much and is familiar with. And when we're not really familiar with something, we don't have confidence to open our mouths up and just sing and sing loud and sing with cheer and joy. And that happens to us often when we unprepared on our jobs, in our communities, when the opportunities surface to be able to stand in the gap and unveil or share the revelation of the gospel, the truth of Jesus. A lot of times we kind of become quiet and we don't stand with confidence and share. And it's something that we all face and from day in and day out. And what we ask and what we want to pray for, what I pray for, is that we will all be confident, that we will get in this truth, we'll get in the Scriptures and find a few things in it that we can help share the story of Jesus and how His life has changed our lives. And nobody can tell your story better than you. Amen? Amen. And that's what you just need to share. You may not have the answers to everything, and that's okay. What we want to do is just share what He's done for us, what He's come to do, and how it has an effect on our lives and transformed us. Turn to Hebrews. But look in Hebrews 9, and we're gonna parallel this or take it and look at an Older Testament passage and see how it would connect and be a tool for us to use to tell our story and what Christ has come to accomplish. The Bible gives us quite a bit at different places and in different times, these nuggets of truth, these principles that tells us why Christ came. And those are types of things that we can learn and use in our message to help those that we care for and love. Because we are missionaries, amen? If you've been born again, been bought with the blood, a new creature in Christ Jesus, you are a missionary for Jesus. The Scripture says in verse number 27. Well, I'll read verse number 26. Let's just read it, and we'll read to verse number 28. Hebrews 9:26 says, "He then would have had suffered often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." So we can legitimately say that Jesus came, He was born to put away sin. Amen? What we have here, listen, He appeared to put away sin. How did He do that? Well, he was born to be a sacrifice for us. Verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You know, as we look at this, we see a couple things in it. Number one, that Christ was born to put away sin. How would he do that? Well, verse number 28 tells us, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He went to the cross to bear our sins, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin. The next time he comes, he's not coming to deal with sin. He's already dealt with sin. He died once for all. Amen. When he comes again, he's not coming to deal with the issue of sin. That issue has already been dealt with. That's what he was born and came to do, to bear our sin, to be a sacrifice himself. He's accomplished that, and he's promised he's coming again. But when he comes again, he's coming to deliver us from this world we live in. He's going to make all things new. We see that, and we can see that he's coming again. He's already promised that, but we also find in here that he's only coming for those that are eagerly waiting for him. So we can see in these passages that Christ came to this earth. He was born, yes, to bear our sins, to be a sacrifice for our sins, but also to transform us, that we go from being anti-Christ to being people who trust him, take him at his word, and that we are eagerly looking and waiting for his return. Because he's only coming back for those who's waiting on him. Who are those that are waiting on him? Those for whom he's dealt with their sin already. Those for whom he put away their sin. You see, in the putting away of sin and dealing with our sin, Christ makes us new creatures. And as a new creature, he gives us a new nature. And that new nature, along with that old nature that still has an attachment to this world, but that new nature has a desire for the return of Christ, that's looking for him, longing for him, anticipating him. And he is only coming for those who are waiting for him, who are eagerly with a great desire, looking for his return. Now that's a great tool to use with those that you fellowship with, that you work with, that we're around on a consistent basis, that loves the message of... I didn't touch it. My hands went right here. I didn't touch it. What we find is this, is that we are around a lot of people who acknowledge that Christ was born, who acknowledge that he came, who acknowledge that he went to a cross. They all acknowledge those things, but they're not looking for him to come back. They're not waiting upon him or longing for him. Now, that is a revelation for us, that yes, they know he came, yes, they know he died, but they have not surrendered their lives unto him. They not trusted his death on their behalf to be their Lord and Savior. And as a result, they still are intimately connected with this world and don't have a nature to be looking for him. Now, when I recognize that, that means I have somebody that I can be praying for, that I can help, that I can be a tool that God can use to share the truth of what happens and how he's changed my life. Give my story of what he's done for me and how my heart longs for his return, taking him at his word that he is coming back for us. I'm looking for him. I know he's coming. I believe he's coming. And he's teaching me and showing me more. And he's still working with me and transforming me and changing me. There's a lot of things that's fouled up with me. But one thing is for sure, he took my sin upon the cross. He's transformed who I am. And he's given me a heart to wait and look for his coming. And he's also given me a burden for those who will die and die apart from him. Because as this passage says, all men are appointed to death, right? It's appointed to every man to die and then face the judgment. But if I have to face the judgment bearing my sins, that's not a judgment that I want to face. But knowing that Christ took our sin for us to the cross to put it away from us, that we can stand righteous before Him, that is a message that Alabama and Mississippi need to hear. Amen. You say, well, preacher, they've heard it over and over and over again. But yes, but have they really heard it? Amen. It may be, you may be, I may be the very instrument that God uses to remove the veil from their eyes, that they see Jesus for what He is and who He is and what He came to do. Amen. I want to tell you, Jesus is a conqueror. He's a mighty King, and what He does in the life of people is that He conquers their life. He rules over them. He makes subjects of His kingdom that they follow Him. Yes, will they sin? Will they commit transgression? Will they act foolishly? Of course, we all know that. We're all subject to that. But one thing is true, is that when a man has been born again, he becomes subject unto Jesus Christ. He's been captured by Him, conquered by Him, and he's under His rule and authority. That's what we find. Matter of fact, turn to Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. This is the essence of what we see. Hebrews talked to us about the fact that He was going to deal with sin. Men would face judgment, but those who dealt with their sin in Christ will be looking for Him. But this passage in Isaiah gives us another view, another picture of this coming of Jesus and this child that is to be born. Look at Isaiah 9 and beginning in verse number 6. He simply says, I know this is familiar to some of us as we read this, and it's such a beautiful passage of Scripture to be reminded of. But in Isaiah 9, 6, it says, for unto us. You see, He came to us to deal with the problem, and the problem is us. Amen. We're the problem. He was sent to us. A child is born. That would be the picture of Him being Mary's child, a man, yet God. Unto us a son is given, God's son, His virgin birth. And the Scriptures, and the kingdom or the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it, that is to set it up, and to establish it, that would be to support it, and He'll do it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture that you'll find in all the Bible. For unto us a king shall be born. A king shall be born. Those first few passages just speaks of His roots and the fact that He is both man and God. Other passages in the Old Testament refer to Him as a branch, the branch of David, or the branch of God, and His name shall be the Lord our righteousness. And we see a revelation of Him, that His name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Those revelations of who He is, of His name and what He does, gives us a picture, Tommy, of how He takes ordinary men, ordinary sinners, and transforms them so that they, instead of rebelling against Him and being contrary to Him, He becomes a wonder to them. A wonder to them. Something marvelous. Something extraordinary. Something unique and different from any other man, any other thing, any other creature. He becomes a wonder to us. And this extraordinary miracle in our life, that He becomes wonderful to us. And if Jesus has never become that wonder in our life, that miracle of all miracles, if he hasn't become that extraordinary one that is unlike others, that is unique in himself over our lives, we've never been born again. I believe one of the first dynamics, I really believe it because it's part of my story. When Jesus saved me, he became a wonder to me. He became marvelous to me. I mean, it's spectacular. There was nothing like him. There was no one that could make a difference in my life like him. There was no one ever made a difference in my life like him. He really became a wonder to me. Now, there's times in our life where we can lose a sense of wonder of him. That we become cynical. You ever just get a little cynical? You get tired of work. You get tired of the people you're with. You get tired of the nagging and the negative and all. It just, you get, and then it begins to have an effect on you, and you're just cynical. Everything's negative. Everything's ugly. Everybody's a liar. There is no fun in life anymore. You ever get that away? You can get that away. There's no doubt about that. We can lose that sense of wonder. But I want to tell you, if you've never had it toward Jesus, you've never been born again. Because when this child, this king who came to reign, when he reigns over us and rules over our life, he becomes a wonder to us. The most marvelous aspect of our life. Paul would say it like this in Romans chapter 1. We read it yesterday. We talked about it in Sunday school. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus. In essence, Jesus is the personification of the gospel. He is the gospel. It is his life. It's about him. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. And when we recognize that our righteousness cannot be attained in and of ourselves, but he is the Lord of our righteousness. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our wonder. That's a revelation of a man being, his eyes being open, that he can see. You see, this passage even mentions that in Isaiah 9. For an example, look if you would, in verse number 2. This was me. This is talking about me. This has got my name all over it. He says, the people who walked in darkness, I was blind, I didn't have a wonder for Jesus because I didn't know him, it was dark to me, have seen what? A great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. When God shines the light of Jesus on anybody, they can't help but stand in awe and wonder of who he is. They see the face of God in Christ, in his sacrifice. And the neat thing about it, I see a progression in this revelation of who he is when he comes and what he's going to do. Yes, he's going to be wonderful because he is a wonder. He is extraordinary. And when you have somebody that's a wonder to you, what are you going to do? You're going to seek his counsel. Can't help it. Why wouldn't you? Amen. If he's that extraordinary and he's rescued us, he's manifested light to us, we see him as a counselor. The word counselor here has the idea one who shapes your future, one who gives you advisement, one who gives you, is a guide unto you, one who sets a purpose in your life. I want to tell you, that's what the king does when he conquers a life. He's a wonder to us, but we come to him as the one who's now going to shape my future, where he's going to take me, what he's going to do with me. And I share these things with each one of you, and you have experienced these things, those that have been born again, but there's people that you know right now. There's people that are in your family. There's people that we all know that would lay claim to Christ, but they've never experienced the wonder of Jesus. Jesus has never shaped their future or put them on a course or the plan that he has for their life. They don't seek him. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and 155 that salvation is far from the wicked because they seek not thy word. You see, a man that's been born again seeks the counsel of the one who birthed him into his kingdom. Amen. The king who reigns over him, he seeks his counsel to shape the future that he is to live. And you can't help when you learn more about the Lord and who he is and this extraordinary wonder of yours to recognize that he's a mighty God. Amen. He's a champion among champions. He is the valiant warrior, a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever imagine or think. This mighty God, this one who has power, the one who has great strength, the one who is able to look after you, the one who is able to fight for you, the one who is able to war for you. You go to a mighty God, he becomes a refuge for you. Amen? People that know him, run to him. And I want to tell you, Jesus came for these things. Amen? This was the reason that he came to the earth, to deal with sin. When he deals with sin, when he bears our sin, the scripture says that he transforms us, that we're looking for his coming. Why? Because he's become our wonder in our life. He's our counselor over our life. He is our mighty God for whom we find refuge in our life. We run to him because he is able. And I want to tell you, that's the message. Christmas, the message of his coming. But then we recognize that as our everlasting Father, the idea of this everlasting, it means to be without end. God's protection and provision over our lives as our Father, as our King, is without end. We can always count on him. Amen. Why? Because his love, his provision, his protection is everlasting. It's without end. It's not based on what I do. It's not based on what I've done. It's based on who he is and his character. No matter how I've acted, no matter what I've said, no matter what I've done, no matter how I've disgraced him as my father, he cannot deny who he is. His love over me, his protection over us, his provision for us is without end. You can't stop it. Amen. He's our father. You think about them knucklehead kids you got. And I say that to say I'm my knucklehead kids. They have done some lame brain things, amen? The kind of stuff you want to pop them in the back of the head and say, wake up. But I've done the same thing to my mom and daddy. I've done the same thing. And there was times my daddy knocked me upside the head. And there was times he locked me down. And there was times he put the lock on the gate and said, you ain't going because of what you've done. But he did it out of his love for me. His protection for me. I mean, I'm a junior in high school. Got my own car and go where I want to go. And I foul up and make some bad grades. And he won't let me go see Stephanie for one solid month. For a month, Danny. I mean, look, we're playing, doing football season too, and we're doing well. I mean, we beating everybody on our way to the state championship, celebrating, everybody having fun, have a big victory. And you think, my daddy's going to be a little lenient on me and let me go out to the party tonight. I just knew he would. Get to the house. Pick them grades up. Get them grades up, you can go. Get back, you can get back at it again. He did that because he cared for me. He probably should have been harder than he was on me. He was hard on me, wasn't he, Stephanie? But I really believe I needed more, Bill. But he did it because he loved me. And you know what I'm talking about. You look around today and you see a lot of kids that don't have a father figure. You see a lot of girls that don't have a good example of a mama or a lady. And you see them running rampant. They do what they want when they want, and they have nobody looking over them and providing for them and protecting them. Some of them just got to steal just to have a little bread on the table. But I want to tell you, I'm grateful and thankful that my mom and daddy loved me and invested in me and spent time with me and my brothers. I was just out sitting on a deer stand this past week, and I got to thinking about when I was a kid, and one of my favorite times to hunt was on rainy days. Sometimes we'd pull up on a rainy day, Keith, and Daddy would park off on a road where there was a good crossing, and he'd back his old truck in where you couldn't see it well. He'd sit on one side, I'd sit on the other. We were dry. It was warm in that truck. We was out of the wind, and he'd have WRNO, the Rock of New Orleans, on the radio turned way down real low. And boy, I just sitting there and just anticipate a good old buck walk out on my side or his side. That was some of the most favorite times. And I ain't no telling how many times we did that growing up. Invested in me because he loved me. I want to tell you, I've done some stupid stuff in my life. But my daddy's always loved me. My mama's always loved me. No matter what you do, when Christ deals with your sin, he's your wonder in life. He's the one who is giving you counsel and shaping how you live and who you are. He's your mighty God, your refuge, who you go to, who you seek, who you lean on, who you cry out to, who is your high tower in life. You can rest assured, no matter how lame brain you may be and foolish you may act, he is your father. And his fatherhood and his provision and protection and love of you is without end, no matter what you do. You can count on it. Amen? Amen. Now, what does that do? You see, you can't help in a situation and knowing that. He's also our Prince of Peace. He's our source of peace. The word prince means to be head, the resource, the source, the chief, the keeper. He is the keeper of our peace. And he establishes those things in our life by setting up justice or judgment and justice over us. That's what he came to do. There's some people we know that we need to go tell our story to. Amen? Amen. We can help them. Now, are you going to make them turn to Jesus? No. But you know, you may be the tool or the instrument that God uses that those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death see a great light. And when they see it, Christ will become their wondrous King, their great Counselor, their mighty God, their everlasting Father, their Prince of Peace. Because he dealt with the problem. He's dealt with them and the issue of their sin. Now they're looking. They can't wait. They're excited. Their eyes are fixed upon heaven while they work and labor and serve him. They know he's coming for them. Amen? Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Go tell the story. Tell the story, the sweetest we ever heard. What's that? Matter of fact, let's sing that for our invitation. Bill, what's that? Telling the story of Jesus. We sang it yesterday, all day. I love singing it. Every time we'd sing it, bless my heart. 295, would you stand with me? Father, we thank you. We bless you, give you glory and praise. We ask you to help us. I pray even in this service right now that those that have not trusted you, that have not experienced the extraordinary, marvelous miracle of grace over their lives, that you would show them light today, that they'd yield their sin to you. You'd rescue them, redeem them, and we'll give you praise and glory. Thank you so much. Help us tell your story. In Jesus' name, amen.